The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
Eight long years, $800 billion, and a cost even more steeper of 4,400 American lives. Those are those who were killed in Iraq. The last American troops will leave that country by the end of this year. After that, only a small number of Marine embassy guards and liaison officers will remain, along with some CIA agents. But
the cost will continue to accrue, though.
Absolutely.
The thousands of American soldiers with severe disabilities who came home and
will need all sorts of
mental health.
And not to mention all of the cost of reintegrating them, as one listener said, into society with their education and other issues. Despite pushback, though, from his critics who say he's leaving the country too soon, President Obama says he made the decision because Iraqi officials refused to offer American soldiers who are staying in the country immunity in the Iraqi courts.
I suspect the domestic politics might have had something to do with it as well.
I'm sure, since there's an election coming up next year, as we all know. Joining us now, though, is Major General Jeffrey Buchanan. He's a spokesperson for U.S. soldiers in Iraq. And I wonder, what was your reaction when you heard about all the troops, including yourself, coming home?
Well, as somebody who's been very involved in our planning and synchronization of how, in fact, we're redeploying all of our equipment, reposturing our troops, it has not been a surprise because we have been set to honor our commitment to both the Iraqi people and the American people in accordance with the security agreement our two countries signed in 2008. That mandated our withdrawal by the end of the year, and so we've been set from a military forces side to accomplish all that requires.
We're speaking with Major General Jeffrey Buchanan, who's a spokesperson for U.S. soldiers in Iraq. But, you know, let me ask you, when they took a poll of soldiers who'd returned from service in Iraq, most of them said that the war in Iraq, at least, wasn't worth it. And then we saw all these celebrations of Iraqis there celebrating the fact that the American troops would finally be coming home. Do you think that there's just a sense of relief, both on the part of the soldiers and the Iraqis themselves, that this is finally ending?
Well, first of all, I challenge the question. You know, I would go back and look at how many soldiers that they asked are actually still in the military. And when they left Iraq, now I think that certainly colors one's perceptions. You know, when I left here in 2004 after my first tour, I had a very different feeling than when I left after 2006, and a different one yet again when I left in 2009. And so I've seen this place develop over the years, and I really do believe that it's been a worthwhile endeavor. I mean, I know that it's cost a lot in terms of sacrifices on behalf of both the Iraqi and American people. But I see that the opportunities that the Iraqis have now that they never had in the past, and what it makes in a big difference for their potential to achieve what they could achieve in the future, as well as the security of the entire region, and what it means to the United States. I think history will be the judge, depending on how well they take advantage of the opportunities that they have. But I think for somebody to say that it's not worth it is a little short-sighted.
Well, let's look at just the lesson book, because the Pentagon will have to be, putting the lessons from Iraq into the, strategy going forward. Looking across the region to what's happened in Libya, do you think, looking at the Iraq war, that this is the best way to conduct a kind of a regime change operation that the U.S. intended to accomplish when it went in 2003?
Well, I think obviously every particular situation and every set of conditions requires its own best solution set. And certainly what we have done and have been doing in Iraq is different than what we were doing and have been doing in Afghanistan versus Libya, versus our engagement in the Philippines, for example. One thing that I think that I personally take away is that we have got to be, and the military takes pride in the fact that it's a learning organization, but we've got to have the courage to change when we need to change and based on our evolving understanding of what's actually happening and what's best for the situation. If we need to change course, then that's what we should do. And that's really an example of that is what we did in late 2006 when we changed our tactics to focus more and more on counterinsurgency because that's what was required at the time. But I think it'd be a mistake to generalize and say because that was what was required in Iraq at the time is what's required everywhere. You know, I think every potential situation that requires the use of military power, and not all of them require military power, but every one that has required it merits its own considerations. There has to be a good blend of the optimum level of military power, economic power, diplomacy, et cetera, to each situation.
We're speaking with Major General Jeffrey Buchanan, who's a spokesperson for U.S. soldiers in Iraq. You know, last question for you. In 2003, even President Bush admits perhaps he was a bit too hasty with his mission accomplished banner. But I wonder if now is the time. Could we now hang that banner and be more correct to say that the mission in Iraq is accomplished?
Well, when we look at what we've been doing under Operation New Dawn, which is really focused on stability operations, what we've been doing from a military perspective is helping the Iraqi security forces through our advice, training, and assistance. We've been continuing to conduct partnered counterterrorism operations and helping to protect and support the civilian workers out of the U.S. Embassy as they work to build civil capacity throughout the country. So in each one of those areas, we certainly have achieved a lot. We've done a lot to help give the Iraqis opportunities with respect to economic development, the growth of democracy, their security situation. But I don't think it's, you know, I think our president started back in his speech with at Camp Lejeune in 2009. It's been echoed again in both General Austin's and Ambassador Jeffrey's vision for Iraq. This country should be stable, sovereign, and self-reliant. But that doesn't mean that we are there right now. I think it's a work in progress. They continue to make tremendous progress towards it. I think the Iraqis are on the right road and headed in the right direction. But none of us can see exactly all the obstacles that are in the road ahead.
Major General, where are you going to spend your holidays?
Hopefully I'll be able to spend some time with my family in Arizona.
I hope that for you as well. Major General Jeffrey Buchanan, spokesperson for the U.S. Soldiers in Iraq. Thanks for your service, sir.
Well, thank you. And thanks. You know, one thing I think that is important to say to all your listeners is thanks for their tremendous support over the years. It really has made a great difference in all of our morale.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.